You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Welcome to Cannon Fodder, a behind-the-scenes look at the Glass Cannon Network.
Yo! What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to Cannon Fodder. It is Wednesday, July 5th, 2023. I'm your good buddy, Joey OB. And once again, I am Troy-less this week. Troy is out on the FOD just this week. We'll be back for the next one, but I have another special guest today, a good buddy of mine who you all know and love, Skid Marr, sits in for Troy this week. Hey, good buddy.
Troy-less and Cressida. I guess I'm the Cressida.
Troy-less and Cressida. Oh, you never miss any opportunity to jam your education in front of anyone. Your intellect.
That's right.
Intellect.
Eat it.
Eat it, dummies. I know Shakespeare. That is Shakespeare, right?
It is Shakespeare.
It's good to have you on, pal. We haven't done a Cannon Fodder discussion in a while, and I can't think of anybody else I'd be more excited to talk to when we're both super jet-lagged.
Yeah, this is the perfect opportunity for us to just zone out for probably minutes at a time and complete silence for the audience.
Yeah, you'll just hear dead air for two good chunks of time. Like, oh, We've just returned from what I like to call our West Coast tour. It was two dates, L.A. and Seattle, and we have just arrived back, and man, is it hard flying west to east. It messes me up, man. I feel so much better when I fly out there. I don't know why. Like, getting three more hours doesn't faze me at all, but coming this way, man,
it's dragging. Just like, it's such a long flight anyway, and then to have additionally lost the entire day on top of it. It's depressing.
It is. I think, yeah, it's a combination of things. It's not only tiring, it's also depressing.
It is.
In a way, so it drains your energy, but I'm going to do my best to bring it up and bring the energy for the niche here as we discuss, man, some exciting topics this week. We're going to talk more about SideQuest Side Sesh with the man behind Karazor himself. Excited for that. We'll talk some Blood of the Wild. We've got more show dates. I'm going to announce a couple Glass Cannon live tour dates that I don't even know if you know about. Which have just been announced. So looking forward to talking about that. And maybe a little studio update for everybody. We haven't heard you once talk about the studio on the FOD. So we'll get in a little of that too. Let's kick it off with, what should I do first? Let's kick it off with tour dates just real quick because... first of all, tell me how your trip was. I mean, we just got back from Strange Aeons, and you and I did not stay in the same hotels on this trip, really. And we didn't see as much of each other as we would because you were bouncing around with Samantha and everything. So how was your trip? How was your tour?
This was a fantastic trip overall.
I agree with you. Me too. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was really great. We were in the same hotel in LA. I was also staying in the Figueroa.
That's right. But we didn't stay in the same room.
Not in the same room.
So yeah. What went on in there at night?
Well, I don't want to get into that, of course. But no, I really like that hotel. It's like an old school, like classic Hollywood hotel.
Yeah.
And, I hate downtown LA so much because especially when I go to a city, like I really liked, if I want to get a sense of place, I have to walk around. Mm-hmm. And it's just not advisable to walk around in downtown LA because you'll get yelled at. Like it's not as bad this year as it was last year, I feel like, but it was like, we couldn't walk, like last year, we couldn't walk a half a block every time we left without getting yelled at by a stranger.
In any direction.
Any direction. So, yeah. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, it was just so nice to be out west. I love the West Coast. It was so, so great to see our friends out there. That was always a phenomenal opportunity. The party we had was so goddamn fun. My friend Tom Breifogel from Franchise Fan Guys came out with his wife Anne, and it was Lillard showed up, and Todd Stashwick stopped by.
Yes, that was great to talk to Todd.
Yeah,
it was awesome, and I mean, It was great. You're right. That party was so much fun. And then the next night we had our show, which was, I mean, I thought it was killer. That audience was incredible. So loud, so packed in there. I mean, we thought LA was kind of undersold because it didn't sell out, but it did not feel that way, man.
No, not at all.
Packed in there.
That was, for my money, that was easily a top five show that we've ever done.
Yeah.
I felt incredible after that. And yeah, and then going up to Seattle was great too. We got a nice little Airbnb in the Queen Anne neighborhood and did get to walk around a lot there. That always feel like more rooted when I can do that. Like if I'm in a new place, just like getting to explore the neighborhood on foot. So it was good doing that. And then, yeah, I love that venue, the like supper club, the Triple Door up there is very fun. And
that sold out. So, I mean, that was great. It was packed and awesome crowd and big show. We're not going to discuss that show. Neither of these have released yet on audio, besides, you know, maybe on Patreon or something, but they haven't released on the main feed at all yet. So we're not going to go into too much detail of the game story, but holy shit. The game story. Like, wait until you guys hear these two apps when they air. It's going to be awesome. And by that point, Troy will be back on the FOD and we'll be able to go through beat by beat and break those down. So we'll be a little quiet on Strange Aeons for now, but we'll be talking about it again soon. Seattle was great. It gives me San Francisco vibes.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I just feel like it's beautiful to walk around in. It's extremely hilly. It is everywhere you look, every direction you look, you just see beautiful vistas. And it's even more beautiful than San Francisco, I think. I don't know about the city itself, but the surrounding imagery with the snow-capped mountains and everything is just incredible.
The topography is like something from another world or something. It's just so alien. That's one of the things about New York that I realized is you never really feel like you're in a maritime city, like a seaside city when you're in New York, partially because the land by the sea is so flat. So unless you're right by the ocean, you don't even see it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in like places like Seattle and San Francisco, like there are these hills like coming out of the ocean. So when we're walking to the theater from our Airbnb, we're like walking down these hills and you can see the ocean from miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And like the, you know, the islands out in it and the mountains around it. It's just so interesting. The topography is so interesting. And yeah, it was, I really love it there. We both did. It was really great.
Awesome. I had the same feeling. I thought it was a fantastic trip. Huge thank you to the LA crowds and the Seattle crowds and all of our friends who came out and saw us and played with us. And it was just fantastic. We did some board gaming. And stuff. It was just great. It was a really
phenomenal
great
trip. I think we just all felt like we all just had such a good time.
Yeah.
And the I fans think that really, awesome.
Yeah. And I think that really reinvigorates us too when we come back for the things we want to play. In fact,
100%.
Little peek behind the curtain, you and I just hit stop on a Blood of the Wild session. So we just recorded with Paula, Mary Lou, and Jared, and we just saw them a minute ago, you know, so we got to hang out in person, and it just reunites those connections so that when you get on that that Zoom call or whatever, it is not so it's just fresh, you know.
Yeah,
and you're
so great.
Fun stuff to talk about. And
plus I got to ride around in Mary Lou's car. We both Matt and I did. That's a whole other took our the relationship to a whole other level.
Yes. Oh, Mary Lou's car is an amazing place, man. We got to talk about that on Blood of the Wild Band at some point and just let the nation on what goes on in her car. She's like, I can give you a ride, but it's full of garbage. Like, it's just amazing. All right, let me run through some quick date announcements here because this is big news before we talk about SideQuest Side Sesh. So the last week I mentioned that tickets went on sale for Boston. We're shipping back up to Boston, bro, up to the Paradise Rock Club, which we love, one of our all-time favorite venues in the nation to play Strange Aeons. We're going to be there on September 9th. So if you didn't hear about it last week and you just haven't gotten a ticket yet, grab a ticket to that. Tickets are selling like hotcakes up there in Boston, from what I hear. So that's exciting. And then we added some October dates. Okay, here we go. Settle in. Thursday, okay. October 26th, we return to Chicago. Chi-Town, baby.
Yeah.
We did not go. We haven't been to Chicago in a year, I believe.
Yeah, in a while.
So we're back to Chicago. And this time, though, we're not playing at the Lincoln Hall. We're not playing Lincoln Hall this time. We are playing City Winery, which we played in Philly and loved awesome. So much. And so they loved us too. And so they connected with the Chicago City Winery and they were like, you guys should do it in Chicago too. So so they were doing the show at City Winery in Chicago. It's an awesome scene, awesome venue, great food and drinks, and we just love the vibe. So definitely check that out if you're in the Chicago area. That is the last time we'll be in that area this year. But then that's on Thursday, October 26th. That Saturday night, October 28th, we're playing a city we've never played before, buddy. Brand new city that have never been to except in the airport. I've passed through it a million times. I've driven through it a few times. I've never just got out of my car and enjoyed the beautiful city of St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
We're doing a live show in St. Louis, baby, on Saturday, October 28th. Also, at City Winery, these came together and have sort of dominoed all from that Philly show, which we loved so much. And we should be back in that City Winery in Philly later this year, too. But Chicago, October 26th, St. Louis, October 28th. Go to glasscannonnetwork.com/tour to get tickets. Very excited. Have you spent any time in St. Louis?
Yeah, I actually went to Mardi Gras in St. Louis in, I think, 2005.
Really?
Yeah, it's the nation's second biggest Mardi Gras celebration.
I didn't know that. I never knew that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a big, big thing there. So that was very fun. Had a lot of crawfish. And it's a cool city. I'm really, really excited to go back. That should be really fun.
So I'm looking forward to that. I've always heard good things about St. Louis, and we've talked about stopping there and like staying the night sometimes when we drive to Oklahoma, because it's right on the drive to Oklahoma, and we just haven't done it yet, because usually when we get on the road, we're like, let's just get there, and we just sort of like grind it through rather than stopping along the way. And I think it has something to do with the kids being young. You know, if they're a little older, maybe you want to stop, get a hotel, and do fun stuff together. But I just haven't done it yet.
I think our toddlers really want to go to this Cardinals game. Like, that's not really
right, exactly. So I'm looking forward to that. Oh, it's so funny. Right outside of my office here, right outside of this room in my little hallway, there is we have a wall of pictures. It's like a wall of family pictures of us and the kids. And they're all just like fun pictures from being out and about. And I just remembered this. One of the pictures is one of my favorite pictures of Gwendolyn. And she's maybe five or six, something like that. And she's got little headphones on because she's watching her iPad while we're in the car. And she's just looking at the camera, smiling beautifully with her headphones on. And out the window behind her is the Arch in St. Louis.
Oh, neat.
And it was while we were moving. I was literally in the passenger seat. I took the picture of her in the back seat and through the window, clear as a bell, you can see the Arch. It's a great shot.
That's
so
cool.
There's a picture of the Arch on my wall. So I got to get out there to St. Louis. SideQuest Side Sesh returned this summer, Skid. After a long hiatus, and a certain special character returned. One character came back from all of the harrowing adventures of the original run, the season one now, we'll call it, of SideQuest Side Sesh. Little gnoll fighter called Karazor. And people seemed so out of their mind excited at the character creation sesh to see that you were bringing him back. Talk to me about this. Was it ever a question? Did you always know you wanted to bring him back? Did Troy suggest it? Did you suggest it? Tell us what happened. Give us a peek behind the curtain.
I think it was Troy's suggestion, but I would have also suggested this. I was just really always grateful that he survived the events of all the previous side quests, sessions. So I've always wanted to continue on with that, his part in that story. That was always really exciting to me. So yeah, it's great. I feel like he's mellowed a little bit in the intervening years. He's a little bit older.
Yeah, because years have passed in the story, right?
Yeah, he's a little more wizened and a little gray in his coat. I think he's still a very high opinion of himself and a low opinion of almost everyone else.
For anyone that might have missed character creation or didn't have time to jump in, talk to me about the transition to 2E with Karazor. What were some of your thoughts on the build as you went in to make him in 2E?
I can't really remember what my build was, because this was something that I did on the old Hero Lab app. So I have it in my iPad somewhere, but I never looked at it. I just remember building a fighter, and it was like, you know, Tui is just so different that I was just like, well, I'm just going to basically start from scratch and just remember some basic things. Like, I know that he had his, one of his big moves is this overhead chop with a great sword. So it's just like, I just kind of built around the great sword. And other than that, I just, yeah, I got the Knoll template in there and try to get some of his backstory stuff, make it make sense rule wise with the character build. So yeah, just he has, I gave him power attack. He has exacting strike, which I don't even know if he'll ever honestly use, but I have that. And he has, because of his noble background, he has courtly graces. So that allows him to use society in place of diplomacy, which is good because he doesn't have much diplomacy. So it was cool just kind of rebuilding him and sort of getting used to him in this new kind of format.
I really like Exacting Strike. I was looking at that when I was pre-building my character for SideQuest Side Sesh, and I was like, this is awesome. I mean, if you miss, you don't take the multiple attack penalty, right? Isn't that what that feat is? I think you'll use that a lot.
Yeah. No, I don't think so, because it has the press trait, so you can't use it with your first attack. And usually my first option is going to be my power attack, so that's two actions right there.
Got it.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to be able to use it as much as I thought I would when I first took it, but it's possible. If I don't open with power attack, then yeah, I'll definitely use it.
So what were your thoughts as the group came together and you started to see everybody's sort of ancestries and classes? What was going through your head?
It was just so exciting to just get back to the attitude of SideQuest Side Sesh, which is just sillier. You know, I think we still end up, we take the story seriously, but we just kind of take some of the atmosphere a little less seriously. So it was really fun. Like champ kindly, the skeleton was a very, very, very strong, very good character choices there, portrayal wise. Very, very nice. Jared's fun character. Jared Bard is like, it's really, really cracking me up. And
and then Matthew's, I mean, come on, to round it out, Matthew's automaton is just,
I know,
amazing.
Yeah, the psychotic automaton is great. Although I am always going to miss the crystal ghost and all of the resulting humor around having,
yes,
a costumed vigilante in a Pathfinder scenario. I will miss that, but no, yeah, I love the group, is honestly great. I really, really love this group. It's just really insane and fun. So
yeah, so we get through this week's episode, which ends with minor spoilers here, but it ends with the finding of a golden coin, of like a kind of money that none of us have ever seen before, which is always a fun thing to get in a jungle trek. And so we haven't really seen any of these characters in combat yet, which I'm curious to see. I'm excited to see how that plays out. But we do roll a bunch of dice in this episode because there's a lot of like mini game kind of stuff that goes down in the jungle. Tell me about some of your thoughts on that. Do you like mini games? Do you like GMing mini games? Do you like playing mini games? How do you usually feel when they come up in a scenario?
It's kind of weird because normally the main place that they find use is in Pathfinder Society scenarios.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like that seems to be a common kind of tool that they use in those.
Yeah. I feel like part of the idea, right, is these people are playing so many adventures all the time that are so formulaic that, like, to try to shake things up a little bit and try to, you know, change a mechanic and introduce a new mechanic for people to play with is one of the goals of the society, I would guess.
Yeah. I really do like it, though. I like them generally. I love those sort of proprietary mechanics within an adventure. I really like that stuff. It's I guess you could overuse it if you know, but it does help keep things interesting and add a little flavor to the story. So I like it generally, as long as it doesn't impact me negatively too much.
In which case, I don't like it at all. I thought it was really fun going through the jungle stuff. I was like, this is just really cool to like try to really show an experience what it's like to be in these kind of environments, the, with the bugs and the heat and the, you know, the I don't want to go into too much detail, but basically these things can wear away at you as a character. They can chip away, whether it's at your hit points or your, or you get conditions put on you that you then have to deal with if you come across a real encounter. So all of that is really it's an interesting thing to have in there, and I was glad we did it.
It can really help establish a tone and atmosphere in a way, like what, having this tangible effect on your character. It can be really effective in, you know, sort of creating an image in your mind of a place, like where you are. That that's what I really like most about it, especially in the one in this one that we're playing. Like that worked great, I thought.
Is this the first time in 2E that you're playing a fighter?
I think so. I believe so.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll have to come back to you. I don't know the next time we'll get you on the FOD, but maybe we'll just bant about it on air at some point during the show. But I just want to know what you think about it, what you know, how you feel about the mechanics of the gameplay of the fighter in combat.
Sure.
Because martially, you've played a barbarian, which we'll talk about in a minute too when we talk about Blood of the Wild. You've played a monk as part of the whatchamacallit. My God, why am I blanking? What is the Paizo game?
What is it?
My God, we are so jet lagged. It's the name of the party. What's the name of the group? I'm like, all I can hear, I was like, Busted Mufflers. Like, no, that's not
it. It's not Busted Mufflers.
Oh my God. So stupid. I can even see the logo partially and I can't. Oh my God. This is just so funny.
This is insane.
Anyway, when I play Hawk, Raven, Eagle, Crow, you play fill in the blank. Orphan Puncher. Ecthelion, Orphan Puncher. And that, you know, so that's a monk. So you've definitely dealt with some combat in that regard. But yeah, not a fighter. So curious to see how it plays out. What is his build? He's a two-handed build. Is that what he is?
Yeah, two-handed weapon. Build. Which is a little bit... one of the mechanics that I like in second edition is the whole shield. It's kind of shield raise, shield block, all that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, agreed.
So I was just like, I really do like this. This sword and board feels more hands-on in 2E than it was in 1E for sure. So I was a little bummed that I'm kind of missing out on that. But I love the big damage. I love the, you know, big damage swings. I finally have a striking rune on a weapon for the first time ever. Any kind of magic, we have just, We have not in any of the games that we played. It feels like our magic item, magic weapon. We just haven't had them.
Yeah,
really, for the most part. So yeah, it's that's been super fun, and yeah, it's great. And it's even at like Blood of the Wild, like it's such a low magic setting that we won't probably in that either. So.
Let's get into that. Let's talk a little Blood of the Wild here. By the way, it's the Thunder Company, because it came
Thunder
to me.
Company.
The Thunder Company, of course.
Yes, of course.
Thunder Company is the shit. Blood of the Wild, for those of you that don't know, we talked a little bit about it last week with Jared, is our Pathfinder 2E game on Patreon that you can get at the $10 tier. It's a weekly Pathfinder 2E campaign where we're playing Quest for the Frozen Flame. Jared is GMing it. Skid and I playing it along with Paula Deming and Mary Lou, who are phenomenal.
Awesome.
And you play what feels like the character you've had the most fun with ever on the network. That's sort of the vibe that I'm getting. Tell us about Olog. What is it? Olog Crowborn?
Olog Crowborn.
Olog Crowborn. Talk to us about the character and how you're feeling playing him so far.
Olog is a foundling orc who his origins...
Full orc!
Full-blooded orc. I definitely see the appeal that you've...
did not get to experience.
Yeah, but I see what you're thinking, because it is really, really, yeah, he is. And I really just wanted to make a gigantic, I love physically larger than life characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Olog. He's like, I think he's 7'4" and like 420 pounds, like something like a just a gigantic figure. And like even for an orc, like he's just like ridiculously oversized. And he has the he is a titan. He has a titan mauler instinct, so it lets him use weapons that are even a size too big for him. And so I just get to do massive amounts of single hit damage if I hit. So, but that's been great because it's like especially like playing Aldo in side quests. It's just like I do like little bits of damage like here and there, and I can boost other people, and you know, I'm very situational. But this, to really, I feel so effective in a way that I haven't in a really long time. And I just love the idea of the cat. I thought through his whole kind of backstory, like how he got to be. Yeah, well, that I think we did in the character creation episode. I talk about how he was the tribe that he ended up joining, which is like the tribe family that's in the Blood of the Wild, in the Quest of the Frozen Flame adventure path. The way that they found him was they came across an orc caravan, like a mini caravan, and they don't know what happened, but all of the orcs were slaughtered. They were all dead, but they found this one infant, and he was surrounded by the corpses of all of these crows. This little infant, like as these crows like came to pick him apart as he was lying there, this infant, he crushed all of their necks. So it's like
so awesome.
Yeah, it's this little like kind of Hercules kind of backstory. And I have since like I was like, oh, now I know like where he actually came from and like what happened. So hopefully that can come out in gameplay at some point. But it's great. I'm just having such a blast with the character and just on the show in general, because Paul and Mary Lou, like, they are so goddamn fun to play with. They're so talented, and they're having such a good time. Like, they're not jaded and worn down the way that the rest of us are, like, with gaming. So it's like, so they're great. And also, like, Jared is so fun to play with. That's the other thing we didn't mention is we got to go see Jared do some stand-up at the Dynasty Typewriter in LA.
Yes,
the first
time I missed it because my flight was delayed.
Yeah, your flight got delayed, so you missed out. But he was so good, and Nick Kroll was there, like, a bunch of great lineup. I haven't seen live comedy in years. I used to go every week with my friend Mark Beasley and other people. And it was so fun.
I know
fun.
Mark. Mark's a great
dude. Yeah,
dear.
You know Mark Beasley. Yeah. Yeah, we used to go like every Sunday. We'd go down to the village and we watch a show. And so that was great. And he's just so fun to play with. So that is when we had to record today. So the day after our flight back. And I told Samantha, just like, this is the show. If you told me like I have to pick one show for us to do the day after a jet lag trip, it would be this one.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's the most fun. It is right now. It's the most fun that I have on the network.
I feel the same way. Like I saw the schedule and I was like, oh man! Right after we get back, I'll be all jet lagged. I'm like, but this is the game that I can play. It's just so it's really fun and really light, and the lower level gameplay is easier to sink your teeth into right now. And it's just, and we built these characters from scratch, so we know them really well. And it's just the characters are awesome, and this is basically an ad for Blood of the Wild, but it's awesome. It's a great game, and we encourage you guys to check it out if you haven't already. Speaking of new games and building characters from scratch, I can't get too far into this because we're getting into spoiler territory, but our studio is ready to go, and we are going in. And we're about to go in and really get to work on a lot of different stuff. And I don't want to go into great detail on anything, but I will say that we've made characters for the new campaign. And you can't give anything away because we've got stuff coming out to sort of introduce your characters. But I don't know. Like, is there anything you can talk about? Is there anything that you're excited about, just generally speaking, in a vague way? Like, what's going on in your mind as you head into this Gatewalker's adventure?
There's a lot. I'm incredibly excited to start for a bunch of reasons. One is just like you said, like starting from scratch, starting at level one and building with a character that you create like from the beginning. That's something that I just genuinely love doing. Very excited for that. my particular character that I've built, I fucking love.
Awesome to hear.
I can't wait. Like going through that their backstory and everything and talking that through is so I'm seriously incredibly excited for that. I'm excited to play in person again.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we've just apart from the live stage shows, that's something we never do anymore. Mm-hmm. And it just takes everything to another level, I think, for me. And the studio itself is incredible. It's come together really, really nicely. Like the guys like we have on staff there now are they're friends of ours. Like they're so great. And the table is so good. Like everything is just, it's so, so exciting. And, I'm as excited for this as I have been for, I think, anything that we've ever done.
Yep, I agree with you. I've got feelings. It's strange because when you come at this project with a budget and you've got money to spend that we didn't have to spend during, the initial launch of Glass Cannon Podcast and we were playing Giant Slayer, you know, it complicates things and it adds layers that are, you would think would make it be like cooler or whatever. Sure, maybe you could say that. But ultimately, what this ends up feeling like from an analogy standpoint is the start of Giant Slayer. Because like the start of Giant Slayer, the leaps that we were taking were so big and we were doing something we had never done before. We'd played the game a ton, but we had never sat down to record it. We'd never done like steady background music and sound effects. We'd never taped and edited our own games, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of big leaps. Well, it's the same thing here. We have never shot a show the way this show is about to be shot. We have never been in a studio like this, around a table like this, playing together. We've never had a we've never had a proper single table to game at before.
Ever. Even when we were playing just before Glass Cannon, like just playing at home, like we've never had a table.
We've never had a table. We've always played pre Giant Slayer, and even into the start of Giant Slayer, we always played at couches and chairs, on coffee tables and end tables and tray tables. Like that was always our game. Everybody just kind of had their little section or whatever. And when we started playing Giant Slayer in studio, we pushed a bunch of folding tables together and it was kind of big and awkward, but it was what it was. This is the first time, we're sitting around a gorgeous round table to sit together and just play a TTRPG. And it feels like the stakes are even higher than, and those stakes felt high when we first did Giant Slayer. We mm-hmm. wanted to make an impressive product and we didn't know if we would stink. We didn't know it was a big leap. And this is the same thing. Like, it's not that we think we might stink. It's that, like, we don't know if this adventure is going to be good. We don't know if the characters are going to work well together. We don't know anything about the characters, but we've all individually built them and are so excited about them that now it's time to go. And it's happening. It's happening right now, basically. Yeah. So though you guys may not hear it for a little while, it's imminent in our world. And so, it's happening.
The other, real quick, the other thing that is so great about this new iteration of the Glass Cannon podcast is the addition of Sydney and Kate, which especially for the live tour, just like going, they have like made my enjoyment level skyrocket just doing the tour because they have so much fun with each other. It's like, it's like being on a road trip with a couple of high school girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Like they're so insane and they just like they kind of like build off each other and they just have so much fun and it's really infectious. And so that is something that I think will translate to our show as well. It's just they're so great to play with. So
yep. Yeah. So that's what this tour has been about. That's what Strange Aeons has been about with adding Sydney and Kate to the cast. It's been all about practice and warm up for Gatewalkers, And so it's working. It is working as intended. Our chemistry is really clicking. I feel like we're having so much fun playing those games. And then we're just having fun together on the road, like when we're not playing the game.
Yeah.
I mean, for a big chunk of that trip, you were off doing stuff with Samantha. Matthew was not in Seattle. He had a trip. So it was just Troy and I and Sydney and Kate, you know, for like an entire night one night. And we had a blast together. And so, you know, those moments are important. You got to split off at times and do things with each other. You know, Troy didn't make the comedy show. It was you and Matthew and Sydney and Kate, you know. So mm-hmm. it's just like those fun groupings all help to build a better game and a better product in the long run. So yeah, that's totally. That's where we're at. Okay, so I think I'm just going to wrap it up there. I mean, look, next week, there's an outside chance that there's not a fodder next week just because of our recording schedule may not allow it. I don't think that's going to happen, but we're going to try to do fodder next week. But we are in studio so much next week that it may not happen. We'll see. I will keep an eye on social media. If you see that there's no Can of Fodder next week, that's just going to be because we're in studio and we need a little summer break from fodder to crank out some Gatewalker stuff. If we are on, Troy will be back and we'll be hyping the release of Get in the Trunk season 5, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that's the thing that if there happens to not... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. Even if there's a fodder next week, it comes after the premiere. So everybody... Alert, alert, alert. I forgot. I didn't like put this together when we started. Again, see jet lag. Tuesday, July 11th. Next Tuesday. That's it. It is time. It is Get in the Trunk season 5 is releasing. And nobody knows anything about this yet. They don't know anything about episode 1.
Oh, man.
Episode 1 is unbelievable of it season is. 5.
You're in for a treat. You are in for a treat.
You are in for a treat. Honestly,
some surprises.
Exactly. Lots of surprises. I don't want to sound too cheeky on this. I don't want to say it too often. I want to reserve use of it. And I think that I do. If you can pull it off, I think watching this live on Twitch next Tuesday night is you're going to want to be there to say you saw it first live, the things that happened in that episode and the experience of that episode. So I hope everybody is able to make it out and watch it live. If you're not, it'll release, I believe, the next day on Patreon and YouTube. So
I'll be there for sure. I'm going to be in the chat. I'm going to be watching it, seeing people's reaction to this stuff.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to being there. So Tuesday, July 11th, the premiere of Get in the Trunk Season 5 live on twitch.tv/theglasscannon, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And I'll tell you this much. I'll give you a little insider info. We go a little long, so it's going to be a nice, chunky episode. Please settle in and enjoy it with us live. Skid, buddy, thank you so much for guesting today, man, for stepping in for the
LaValster. Always a pleasure. It's been too long. Thank you for having me.
Dude, thank you for doing it, especially I know how exhausted we are, but it is. We're back. We're going to get this jet lag fixed, and then... Man, there's lots to work on. Gatewalkers, Get in the Trunk, Legacy. So we didn't even talk about Legacy today. There's just so much going on. But yeah, excited for more Legacy as well. So until next time, thanks a lot, everybody. Hopefully we'll see you next week. If not, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon.